Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Exodus. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Exodus 28 this evening, Exodus 28. Who are we looking for in all of the scriptures and through the Old Testament? Who are we looking for? We're looking for none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We want to find Jesus in all of the scriptures. And kind of fun as we've been going through seeing how he fits into all these different aspects of the tabernacle itself. And tonight we're going to look at, man, something that's really, really awesome. And it kind of gets into the ephod and some of the coverings and the clothing that were made for the priest. It is interesting that it is the same materials, you know, the linen, the scarlet, the blues, gold. This is the type of materials woven into the garments that the priest would wear also. Same as we saw throughout the whole tabernacle. The tabernacle, same elements, same type of materials were used. And the craftsmen, a fine artisan, were used to make these things. It's the same kind of fine craftsmanship that was to be used for the priest's garments and also for the tabernacle itself. The thought here, and we'll kind of, I'll clear this up through scripture, but the thought is really that Jesus being that our high priest, and we're looking for Jesus in the scriptures. We're wanting to find him through the Old Testament. It's going to come to life more if we can see the Lord Jesus Christ, because it all is representing him and talking about him. From Genesis through Revelation, it's all pointing to Jesus Christ. And when we look at some of these things, oftentimes, it would be easy to find error with a lot of different things that have to do with the church, maybe, or the body of Christ. And we can, and it's whether it's inside our own fellowship and gathering, or whether we're looking at other aspects of the body of Christ, other groups, and we can find fault with, well, they don't do it this way, or we don't like what they. And we're just going to kind of clear some things up with some of that as we go through the scriptures this evening, I think. I think some good thoughts are there. Because really, the same fabric that was used to cover the priest is the same materials that's used for the tabernacle. They're to be one in the same. Jesus is to be in the body. This is that we are to be his body. We're supposed to be representing him. Why don't you put your thumb right there in chapter 28 of Exodus and turn over to Hebrews chapter 3 real quick. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. That's us. That's you. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So here, as we look and we're going to consider tonight and look at this high priest and the high priest's garments, we're to consider these matters. Consider him, the person of Jesus Christ, as we look at this. Man, exciting, good stuff to contemplate and think about. Verse 1 of chapter 28. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Take all of these, and they're going to minister as priests. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. And so you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, a sash, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. You know, you read through first reading of it, pretty straightforward and no doubt to the point as far as just, you know, the wording itself. But a lot of things in here. One, if you notice, three different times in just those four verses, we find that he makes it very clear that the priority of the priest is to what? Minister to whom? Yep. We're to also, in our service, is to minister, the high priest, the priests themselves, they were to minister to Jesus. As a believer, that's really our first priority, is to minister to Jesus. That's our first priority. After that, I mean, there's a lot of different things. And this is why when we've talked about this many times, is that the Bible says that we can really do nothing apart from him. That's what the Bible says. With him, all things are possible. And then subsequently he says, without him, you can do nothing. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Now, that doesn't mean you can't brush your teeth without God. That doesn't mean you can't go mow the lawn without God. That doesn't mean you can't do a lot of different things without God. Yeah, you can do them. There's a lot we can do. But what its context is its value within the kingdom. It is wood, hay, and stubble if it's not done under the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit and unto the Lord. We see so much done in the operation and the energies of the efforts of the flesh, and yet that's just going to burn in a fervent heat one day. There's no intrinsic value within the kingdom unless God is the one doing it. And so we see out of the overflow of our time with God, as we minister to the Lord, we minister to Jesus, as we minister to the Father, as we're having relationship in the Holy Spirit, as we're enjoying his presence, then as we do other things to minister, to serve other people in the Lord, man, it takes on this whole other dynamic, this whole other dimension then. You know, but the first priority is to minister to the Lord. That was their first priority, and that also should be our first priority. Also, we can notice here that there's kind of a family ministry going on. If you notice in verse 1, it says, that he may minister to me as priest. It doesn't say priests. It's not a plural there, and it could seem like there's some kind of mishap going. Something's not being stated right, or there's a misunderstanding in the language. But Aaron and his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, all four of his sons are also co-laboring with him. Just as you and I are co-laboring with the Lord in our service unto the Lord. The high priest, Jesus being our high priest, as a body of Christ, we are coming alongside, we are serving Jesus, we are keeping our focus on Jesus, but it's all the work of God going on at the same time. Yet, we are oftentimes very quick to pick apart different things that maybe are going on, you know, inside a group or inside a situation. And really, it's undermining the very work that God's wanting to do. You'll see this as we go through this very clearly. You'll see this tonight. Powerful, powerful truths for us to know as believers. This could really impact and change our aspect or our view of ministry. So the priest, the tabernacle, Jesus, the body of Christ, it's all woven of the same materials. Flip with me back over to Hebrews real quickly in chapter 2, verse 11. You kind of get the picture of this. For both he, in verse 11 of chapter 2, Hebrews, for both he, the speaking of Jesus, who sanctifies, so Jesus is the one who sanctifies, right? So both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, that's us, we're being sanctified by the Lord, right? We agree with that. Are all of one. So there's total unity there, isn't there? We're all one. As we read this with Aaron and his sons, it's referred to as one component, isn't it? all of the sons and Aaron are being called out. There's five individuals, but they're all really one. He's not making this distinction between the high priest in that sense and his sons. He says they're all ministering. They're all a part of the service of God. And here we see the same thing with Jesus and the church. All are of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus calls you and I brethren. Now, Jesus is the high priest, our high priest, right? But he is considered our elder brother in that sense, in that context. And yet we are also offspring of God. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. So this worship that's going on, Jesus, and we've talked on this when we went through Hebrews, we touched on the significance and the importance of this, is even in our worship, in our gathering, Jesus is in the midst of that. And Jesus is worshiping along with us, worshiping the Father, worshiping with us. Jesus is in the midst of the congregation, really empowering and helping us to be a part of that. And again, I will put my trust in him, verse 13 says. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. And so Jesus is not ashamed of you or of me. He loves us. He has a heart for us. He's in the midst of our gatherings with us. Why I say all this is because so much of the time there's not the kind of, I've had this happen to me. You know, it's not Jesus I have any problems with, it's people. Well, okay, I get it, you know. But, you know, inside in the body of Christ, there's a lot that needs to be sorted through for us as individuals, to think through as individuals, because we are a part of a whole. All of us are a part of a whole. We're a part of a whole component called the church, the body of Christ. And anytime we've looked at this as Paul's described it, you know, hey, I don't like my left ear anymore. You know, the left ear says, I don't want to live there anymore. You know, it's going to be pretty weird if it's attached to your butt, right? You know, that's kind of weird. Your left ear doesn't belong there. You know, your foot doesn't belong where your hand is. But all the components, they're supposed to be where they are, and they have a specific function, and that's where they're supposed to be. And if things get out of whack, we get messed up. We look weird, spastic, and out of sequential flow, right? And so I think it's real. There's a lot to do with just kind of an acceptance and an understanding of family and ministry as a family. You know, Jesus isn't looking at any one of us as individuals and saying, you know, you're pretty lame in this, you know. You know, Jesus doesn't do that to me or to you. He loves us where we're at. And he calls us up to higher ground and says, you be like me in this. Now, I can't do that and you can't do that apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. I know I can't. And I think we're all probably pretty similar that way. We need the work and power of the Holy Spirit to do that within us. So we can kind of see our priority in ministry there to be, man, we want to minister to the Lord. We also can see this unity and this oneness that's there within the body of Christ. We are this a royal priesthood. You know, the Bible calls us out. Peter calls us out and says, you're a royal priesthood. You know, we've been set apart to serve. So there is the priesthood of all believers, and yet there is our high priest. This gets kind of interesting as we get into this. Some things we can see ourselves interchangeable in, and other things it's not quite that way. And you'll see what I mean as we go on a little bit. Let's read about the ephod as they begin to manufacture some of these things. They shall take the gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and the fine linen. So you remember, this is the same components we saw made of several things inside the tabernacle itself. And they shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple. And what is an ephod? An ephod is like an apron. It kind of hooks on like with straps across here and goes across and goes down to about your knees. That's the way. It's like a big apron covering is kind of the way it's described for us here. It's woven, fine woven linen, artistically worked. And so it's this really fine artistry. It's not haphazardly done. It shall have two shoulder straps joined at its two edges, and so it shall be joined together. And the intricately woven band of the ephod, which is on it, shall be of the same workmanship. So this kind of sash or this belt, you know, that goes across there, made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen. Then you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel. Six of their names on one stone and six names on the other stone in order of their birth. So the engraver takes these two onyx stones. They sit up here on the shoulders, up on either side, one on either side. And one has six of the names of the tribes of Israel, and the other has six of the other names of the other tribes of Israel. So six and six. You got 12 tribes of Israel right there on the shoulders. This gets really interesting. Sounds kind of like, wow, okay, neat. You know, but it's first pass. That's first glance. When we get into this, you'll see it gets very interesting that it would be done this way. So the six names there, verse 11, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet. You shall engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in settings of gold. And this is on the priest's garment. This is something the priest would wear. He would wear this when he'd go into the Holy of Holies. He would wear this as he's ministering, you know, unto the Lord. Verse 12, and you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. You shall also make settings of gold, and you shall make two chains of pure gold like braided cords and fasten the braided chains to settings. You shall make the breastplate of judgment. And this breastplate of judgment, or it can be also termed, it's like a place of decision or judgments. It's more like decisions, you know. That's more what the reference is to. It's not judging, you know, motive and judging, you know. It's more a place of decision. You know, okay, God, what do you want to do in this situation? You know, what a lot of the discussions were, do we go to war? Do we not go to war? You know, national matters and this kind of thing, big scale decisions would come through, and the high priest was a big part of making these decisions. We're going to talk about that a little bit further when we get into it. But this place of judgment, place of decisions, artistically woven in the middle of verse 15, according to the workmanship of the ephod, you shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread. And fine woven linen you shall make it. It shall be doubled into a square. A span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. And you shall put settings of stones in it, four rows of stones. So you got clearly stated, there's four rows. How many tribes are there? 12. Four rows. Three stones. Let's read it. First row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and an emerald. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be turquoise, sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, agate and amethyst, and I can't pronounce that other one. And the fourth row, I don't know about that one either, onyx and jasper, and they shall be set in gold settings. So these beautiful stones, 12 in all, three in each row, four rows. You got the 12 tribes again of Israel. And the stones shall have names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of the signet, each one with its own name. They shall be according to the 12 tribes. You shall make chains for the breastplate at the end, like braided cords of pure gold. And you shall make two rings of gold in the breastplate, and you shall put two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And then you shall put the two braided chains of gold. And the whole point is that you can fasten this together to the ephod. So the breastplate kind of, you know, connects on through the rings, and the woven braided gold connects on, the breastplate connects on to the ephod. Now, an ephod itself also is representative of, you know, like authority. In their culture, in their time, you know, it's similar to when some of you have more experience in this. Some of us have more experience than others. Some of you wore badges, you know, not just your Boy Scout and Girl Scout badges. But, you know, when, you know, you go out years and years ahead and some guy was wearing, you know, this chrome plated badge that said you work for this city and you have, and it's a badge of authority. Well, that's the same kind of, that's what the ephod represented. It was a representation of authority. You know, they had some kind of authority associated with it. And it was because of the priest's garments like this. So they make an ephod. It represents a position of authority. And so they have this gold connecting the breastplate to it with the stones in it. And there's the 12 stones, 4 rows, 3 in each row. And each of the stone has got one of the tribes' etched name in it, engraved into it. So it's really, sounds pretty cool looking, don't you think? I mean, I think it sounds pretty cool looking. Let's pick it up in verse 25. And the other two ends of the two braided chains, and you shall fasten the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. And you shall make 2 rings of gold and put them, the two ends of the breastplate on the edge of it, which is the inner side of the ephod. And the 2 rings of gold you shall make and put them on the 2 shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward its front, right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. They shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod using a blue cord so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod and so that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment or that place of decision over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Again, this place of decision. He has authority. The high priest has a place of authority within the people. And he bears the names of the tribes representing them on his heart, on his shoulders. And he goes before the Lord. And that Urim and Thummim is that lights and perfections that is what it speaks of. And that it's that decision-making process by which they would make decisions if issues came up regarding the people.
Thank you so much for listening today. This is Pastor Jim, and I'm really blessed that you've tuned in, and I hope that God's really doing a fresh new work in your life. And oftentimes, when we hear messages like today's message, the Lord starts to tug on our hearts, and he wants to hear from us. He wants our response, and that's just a prayer, a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you need to repent and turn your life back over to the Lord. Maybe you just need to give your life to Jesus, and you've never done that before. This is your time. This is your opportunity. God's word goes out, and he's making himself known. And he wants you to live and have everlasting life. Incline your ear and come to him. And so Jesus is calling out to you, and it's your opportunity to respond and call back to him and just open that door in your heart. It's a simple response in prayer. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. If you just pray this simple prayer of faith, God will come into your life and make your heart his home. Jesus, I ask that you would do just that. Make my heart your home, that you would come in and forgive me of my sin. I want to ask you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I know this isn't about religion. It's about a relationship, and I want to start that relationship. You're calling out to me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm in need of spiritual help, and so I'm calling out to you, God, asking that you would help me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making yourself known to me. And Lord, I just want to receive that gift of everlasting life. I want to thank you for it right now. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. If you'd like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.